we start this afternoon by welcoming back in our friend from Amera Astronomy Center, Sean Latch. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. Good to be back.
I like that shirt very much, so much that we're going to have to post it on social media. Wearing your NASA shirt today.
Yeah, I thought it'd be appropriate.
I love it. Well, it's been quite a month and quite a series of celebrations here at Amera and all over the country. And I read a couple of interviews with folks who were involved, people like Poppy Northcutt, who talked about the celebration being a little bigger than they imagined it would be.
Yeah, I think the 50th anniversary, of course, is a huge deal, both for us, you know, at the planetarium, but even on campus. Like I said, we had this partnership with the Advanced Composite and Structure Center and the Wireless Sensing Network for the Lunar Habitat Module. So it was a really great chance for folks to see how the University of Maine is connected. And there were really incredible celebrations all over, and lots of wonderful documentaries with new footage that we released, yeah. You know, and so some really great stuff. And I think it, you know, it highlights one of, you know, humankind's greatest achievements. When you really think about it, as I mentioned, you know, going to the moon is, you know, about 2,400 times farther than astronauts typically go. We normally put them up in the low Earth orbit, and, you know, that's roughly 100 miles up. The moon is 240,000 miles away. So it's a long, long way farther.
Well, I want to talk later on about the next steps for the space program and for private industry, which is very involved in where we go from here. But we're rolling into a new month tomorrow. Let's talk about some of the things going on at Amera Astronomy Center. What have you got going in the month of August?
Sure. So our regular monthly programming, we have on Fridays at 7, we have Dream to Fly, which looks at the history of flight from hot air balloons through modern aviation, including going into space. And it takes a look a little bit at how the Bangor International Airport is related to some historic moments in flight, everything from Amelia Earhart flying regular routes from Bangor to Boston to it being the, you know, the longest runway east of the Mississippi, a place where we can land, could, you know, land if the shuttle was still flying today, could land a shuttle. It was a backup site for that. And, of course, on the Great Circle route for all the military missions. Right. So we talk a little bit about that in the program as well, and celestial navigation, how that is still used today in flight. And particularly by the U.S. military. So that's a little piece of that program. Our Friday night music program is Coldplay, A Sky Full of Stars. So last month we finished up with Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, with all the things moon-related. But this month we'll do Coldplay, and folks are pretty excited about that show. Has some really incredible graphics and should be a fun time. And then on Sunday afternoons, our 2 o'clock show is a new one called Lucia, Mystery of Shooting Stars. That program takes a look at, of course, aurora, but also shooting stars. And we'll be talking about the upcoming meteor showers in August, like the Perseids, which is a big shower every year. So that's our regular programming. And those, of course, take place every week. And then we have our matinees. So, for instance, Friday afternoon, Black Holes is at 2 o'clock. And basically 2 o'clock Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we have matinee showings. And we change shows each time. So it just kind of runs through a whole variety of different programs. So if it's something that you missed from the past, or something you want to see again, it's a great way to get out of the sun and enjoy the cool planetarium and enjoy some of our programming.
And we talked about this recently with you when we got those first images ever recorded of a black hole, which is just amazing. And it's hard, I think, for people to wrap their head around the concept of what a black hole actually is.
Yeah, for most people, it is a difficult topic. I mean, basically, black holes are the remains of large stars. It's a very large star which has died. And it's collapsed inward to a point where gravity, you know, can't support it. So not even light can escape. And so it's a pretty amazing thing. I always tell folks they're not like vacuum cleaners that you know, see in science fiction movies, moving through space, sucking up everything. Things fall into a black hole because of gravity. They're not sucked in per se. But they are these really incredible objects. And there's a lot of interesting, you know, physics that happen around black holes. And so when that Event Horizon telescope got the first image of black holes, of a black hole, that was really an amazing feat. And it's the resolution on that is the greatest resolution image ever taken by humans as well. So it's a pretty amazing, people say, oh, it looks like this little orange donut. Yes, it's, you know, but realize how far away that thing is and what you're seeing. And again, in terms of resolution, it's the greatest resolution photo ever taken.
And you have to remind yourself too of what we're seeing when we look up at the skies. I was reading something just last night. It was talking about the fact that we think about the North Star, and we look at that as our guiding star up there. But all we know for sure from looking that looking at that is it was out there about 600 or 700 years ago, but we can't even be sure if it's still there.
Right. Stars, you know, when we see stars in the night sky, we're looking back in time because the distances are many light years away, the time that light takes to travel to us. So the nearest star to us other than the sun is, you know, Proxima Centauri, about 4.3 light years away, and then they go out from there. And in the case of, yeah, the Polaris is about 600 light years away or so. So, yeah, it takes light that travel time. Now, stars typically last for millions or even billions of years, depending on their size and how fast they're running through their hydrogen and helium. But it is true that some of the stars that we see in the night sky may no longer be there, you know, because they could have died or went through changes.
We're talking with Sean Lash of Amera Astronomy Center. So as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, been a lot of talk about the future of manned space flight. President Trump has said, Vice President Pence confirmed it recently, that the plan is to get a man back on the moon, I think by what, 2024, right?
Right. There was discussion of putting a man and a woman, so the Artemis mission, which would have a man and a woman, to go to the moon by 2024. The technology probably exists, but the question is about the investment and the willpower. It's going to require quite a bit to do that, and it would require a significant investment. But going to the moon, we've done it before. We have some technologies we've been working on that could get us there. And that is a next logical step. We do want to go on to Mars, but that's much farther away, and there'll need to be some great technological advances before we can do that. So a lot of folks think going back to the moon and using that to prep for longer-term missions to Mars is the way to go.
Privatization is a big factor. People like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos also have plans to not only get to the moon, but to take civilians up into space.
Right. There's been discussion of, you know, space tourism, if you will, but then, you know, and even, you know, some of the commercial space industries have talked, or space providers have talked about sending people to Mars. And I think, you know, going forward in the future, that probably is something that will happen. Again, I think our first mission to Mars probably should be international, because it's going to take, a huge amount of investment, and there are lots of factors to overcome. So it'll be interesting to see how that develops. You know, back during the, you know, the late 60s and early 70s, folks thought by now we'd be on Mars, or we might even have quote-unquote flying cars. But, you know, technology has taken a little bit longer to develop in certain areas. And, you know, there's lots of new technologies that come out of the space program that we use regularly that people don't think about. But there are some major advances for going to Mars.
How important is the recent development involving China landing on the far side of the moon?
Yeah, I think with China that, you know, they've had a plan and they're continuing to make forward motion on it. They're doing slow, steady steps, kind of like what we did back in the 60s. So the big question will be, you know, they have plans to put a human on the moon. It's some years out from now. We'll have to wait and see if that creates another sort of space race like we had with the former Soviet Union. So that's a good question of whether that will take place or not. But I think they're, you know, they have been making solid strides.
And getting there for us, we don't have the Saturn V anymore. What's going to get us there? What's the rocket that will enable us to send somebody some 200,000 miles away?
So that's an interesting question. Right now, NASA has been working on this SLS vehicle, which is the replacement for the Saturn V that would take the Orion capsule. It is behind schedule, partially because of investment and things like that. So there has been some question whether, you know, either SpaceX, we might end up using something from SpaceX, or Blue Horizons. We'll have to wait and see. But the SLS is the plan vehicle, but like I say, there needs to be some development there yet.
Interesting. Interesting times ahead, indeed. Sean Lash, Amera Astronomy Center, visits with us every month. Sean, as always, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks so much.
Have a great August.
You too.
We'll see you soon.